Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Well, good evening, or in my case, good afternoon, Michael.
Yes, and when the sun sets so much later, it does feel like good afternoon, even here on the East Coast. I have an announcement.
Good to hear your voice. All right, I'll hear more of your voice then. Very good.
Great. Great to hear yours also. Meditation is one of the most effective ways to train the attention to be with present moment experience. Join Sangha for our virtual meditation groups, conference call meditation sessions that take place 7 days a week. And for more information about this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1. And a conversation on one topic, please. And about 5 minutes is great. And I think we're ready to go here, Sherry.
All right. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. First caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Oh, let me try that again. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good afternoon, everybody.
Who's this?
This is Janice.
Hey, Janice.
Hey, happy sunny afternoon here on the West Coast.
That's exactly right. It's spectacular, isn't it?
It is. And
yeah.
I'm just reporting back because I went on my journey. And just to review, I was planning to go to where we used to live 20 years ago or more, and have a one-year sort of ceremony for my husband's passing because people hadn't been able to come or visit during the pandemic. And I gave myself a whole week to get there, and it was a journey that it was fun. It was so much fun, Sherry, because a person could do this journey in one day.
I see. I'm right there with you.
And I found that I just wanted to let the land and the elements just speak to me all along the way. And so I left, and there was a ferry, and then I arrived somewhere and near a bay where I remembered going as a family, as a little child, but I didn't actually remember it until I veered off and went to a park. And then when I stood on the edge of the bay, then those memories came to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I carried on to an area where I found out that my great-grandparents, two sets, had homesteaded. And I went to the library in the local city and found out a pioneer book, and then I found more out about them. Like one was really definitely from a line of Green Thumbs, and that grafted fruit trees and things like that. And the others were doing animal husbandry and like selling draft horses to the fire department to pull the water wagons, for example, in another city. And I just stood on the land, which is now a regional park, and I didn't actually need to know anything much about my those ancestors, but I just felt the land, the way it rolled down, or there was a creek, or the large trees that were there. And I just allowed it to just sort of sink into the cells of my body, I think. And it was just a welcoming home. Somehow, without any words, there was just this kind of understanding about they arrived there, and I'm now here. And I was really grateful for everything that came before that I really didn't know anything about.
Mm-hmm. I'm again reminded of the quote that it's come to me so often lately. The one about if you want to make an apple pie from scratch, first you have to create the universe.
Mm-hmm.
An indication of how interconnected everything is. I haven't been a great student of it. Not even a good student of it. But the number of generations that you go back before we are literally sharing. I guess what do you share? DNA with everything on the planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm sure we have a lot of science people, so people are going to write to me like crazy and sort me out about that, which is good. But I'm still going to stick with the Buddhist, you know.
Yes.
Everything creates everything. And so you think about those people and then all the people that they interacted with and all the people that they interacted with and all of the animals and all of the plants and all of the – and it just goes out from there until pretty soon we realize, oh, my ancestors are everything that has ever been and is right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was my, my feeling, because I'd booked some places. I'd booked to go to just stay at a place that was near, at one time, it was the largest fish hatchery in Canada, and my grandfather ran it in the 19 teens, and he delivered my mother there in 1920, and it was like a boat ride away, not like a ferry, just their own little boat to a place where they generated the electricity from the creek, and it was completely isolated, and that was the animal husbandry of the fish, the salmon. And as I continued in the interior, I came to many little creeks where I pulled over and salmon come up them from the ocean. And I discovered one area where it was just all the roots of the trees that were embracing big boulders in their roots, but the river had washed it away. It was like the trees were holding the rocks, but the rocks were supporting the trees, and you knew that in you don't know it, I guess, but it had already washed away the roots, but there were five trees holding each other, and that in time that will pass too. And the sand that was there had come from cliffs that I'd seen, half an hour earlier when I was driving. And it everything was interconnected, and it was such a joy. And I had set this intention, like, as a destination and something to do, like a ceremony for someone. But I realized the whole thing was a gratitude practice for my life.
Yeah, for everything that has come before, as we are fond of saying, since before the beginning of beginningless time, everything that it has taken to produce this moment.
Yeah, and so that was a lot of gratitude for all the things that could be perceived as difficulties, and just realizing, they are like the water currents carving out the beauty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's only if we take an egocentric, it's all about me perspective, that how things are is a problem, right? Because how things are is just how things are. And again, in that interconnected, non-separate reality, it takes everything. But anyway, it takes everything to make everything, right? And
right.
We can't always see what it's making, but we get lucky enough sometimes to realize, I don't need to understand it. It's been doing what it's been doing for a really really long time, seems really good at it. I think I'm just going to enjoy it.
Just enjoying the process, yeah, exactly,
yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So,
well, I'm glad you had such a lovely, lovely time.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah. And now you get to be home in another lovely place.
Oh, yes, I'm loving that too.
I know. We just, yeah, it could sound greedy, except, you know, loving it all, you know, it yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well,
thank you, Janice. Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Janice. And Janice, I cannot mute you. It looks like you are out of the queue. Anyway,
she knows the drill, huh?
She knows the drill, I guess. Yes, and Sherry, what dropped in for me during that conversation is that it's so much easier to love things as they are rather than trying to wish that they were some other way.
Oh, isn't it the truth? Yeah, yeah. As soon as we realize it's a matter of perspective. It's not a matter of circumstances or situations or people or things, or it's not about that. It's about our perspective.
Mm, which is what we've been talking about all week on the morning show, the year-long
retreat. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Fascinating.
Wonderful. Yeah.
And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hello. This is Jess in Seattle.
Well, hello, Jess.
Hi. This is my second time calling ever, and first time speaking with you, Sherry.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Pleasure is mine, too, very much so. I didn't have a plan for talking about anything. It comes up in my Google Calendar every week that open air is happening at this time, and I just thought, hey, I'm going to call today. So I'm very glad I did.
Good for you. Good for you. On all counts, one, that you just put it in your calendar, and it comes up, and then you do it. Right, and you call in and you put yourself in the queue and you, yeah. So all of those steps. That's the difference between a life of suffering and a life of freedom and joy.
It is. It is because I was going to choose something that was going to contribute to suffering or call. It was very clear. So.
Yeah, and right there, Jess, isn't that a blessing? Because I don't know about you, but I can promise you that there were long periods of time in my life that I hadn't a clue about the decision that I was making was going to lead to suffering. I didn't know that. I would just suffer, right? Believing that what I was doing was taking care of myself, or it was the right thing to do, or I was being responsible, or I was being trying to be a good person, whatever the heck I had going on, and I would make choices that would end in suffering. So to get to a place in our lives where we realize, oh, there are two choices. One, it's not going to go well for me. The other is going to take care of me. I know which one I'm going with. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm especially grateful for this practice because, well, one of the many reasons I finally participated in a program. I finished the RNL class that happened recently with Scott and Anna. Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've done a lot of, it was a good time. And yeah. I'd done a lot of programs outside of this practice before this, and I would never speak for like months and months and months, like to the group, right? I would just be like, I'm going to do this by myself in my head. And I actually spoke every call. And
good
I think that kind of got things rolling and to call today. I directly connect that back to RNL.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And of course, you know, we, as you know, we talk endlessly about the ego that wants to be in control of our lives and help us to make bad decisions that it beats us up over later. And so to be in a situation like that and to, again, follow the inner guidance to participate and be a part of things, it changes everything. You're listening to your heart, not to a negative voice in the head, and that just changes everything.
Mm-hmm. And I, this human has struggled much with perfectionism, and also getting lost in impressing mentors or teachers around me, and having that be the unconscious reasoning for participating. And what I love about the Keeping Commitments program that I'm also in now, you know, there was a part, the human said, wait, so all I get is gesho? All I get is...
Hey, I've been a good person all day, okay? I've showed up. I've done the right thing, and all I get is a lousy gesho? Yeah,
the human was very taken aback by that, and a text was not received, gesho. And it's been an experience I've never had to be like, I'm actually keeping this commitment for this human and not impressing somebody else. That was huge.
It is. Yeah. It's one of the big differences in this practice from everything else on the planet. Is that we really specialize in not being personalities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that when we get together, we can be any way we are. Sometimes people, you know, get together on retreat. Used to be. We're going to gear up again now that COVID seems to be calming down. And some people would be really happy. Things are going really well for them. Other people would be going through all kinds of really difficult, painful life circumstances. And everybody gets to be who they are. Nobody needs to be cute or smart or charming impress people or any of that. You just get to be how you are. And the silence, as soon as people get used to the silence, and the lack of eye contact, you know, it's like you're with this group of people, you're completely held and supported, and everybody's just leaving you alone.
Right? It's very refreshing to hear about that. I've heard about the privileged environment for years on the archives, and I got a glimpse of that for RNL class. I love, like, when the call is over, it's over. There is no socialization. There are no comments at the end and how are yous and what's going on. And, you know, it's jarring at first for this socialized being. But then I very quickly realized how much of a privilege that is.
Yep. I'm right there with you. Yeah, it is jarring. It's not for everybody. You know, some people they don't want it. They want to socialize. And a lot of practices, a lot of everything, support that for people. You know, you as meditators, you know, you meditate for a while and then you get together and chat. But for us, it's like that just destroys everything that we have built up, which is the inward focus, the sense of well-being, the looking to our own authentic nature, and then we have to come out and be that socialized person again. It's just, not us. It's not that we're antisocial. We love one another like crazy. We just don't get in one another's stuff.
Right. And I've imagined how wonderful that could be, and then having the experience is just something that you can't explain, like eating avocados.
That's right. Yeah, you have to experience it for yourself, because otherwise it just sounds weird. And then, as you say, so you go through the day and you know who you're making your choices for. You know who you want to please, who you want to show up for, who you want to be the best person that you can be for. You. Not to please or impress somebody else, but for you, for your own heart. Yeah.
And the last thing I'll share, to wrap it up, I've heard for years, you know, if you really want to get out of your head, you know, do an act of kindness, like a conscious act of kindness for someone else every day, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is a great thought. I love that idea. And it's just never, it's never stuck. But now, because I'm taking care of the human and not doing this, not for anybody else, or including mentors and teachers, I'm actually doing acts of kindness, especially for my coworkers, which I've been very much about keeping distance from coworkers over the years. It's just better for me. And I still feel like I'm holding a privileged environment in such a way, but then I want to give to others.
Yes.
Like, it's conscious, but also not conscious. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's a privileged environment. It's coming from a loving place. So you can, you can be friendly. You can be supportive. You can be kind. Mm-hmm. You can be present. You can be all those things. You don't need to be social. You don't need to gossip. You don't need to feed unpleasant habits that we conditioned humans have. You don't need to do that part. So you can do all of this stuff that makes you feel good and, coincidentally, makes other people feel good without needing to feel like you have to get pulled into things that you're going to walk away from not feeling that great about.
Right. Or expecting that the other person's going to do something for me.
Exactly. Exactly. It's clean.
I'm just like, this feels good. Yeah, exactly. Yep. It actually feels good. And then, coincidentally, possibly the other person might feel good or not. I'm
or
not,
not
trying to hurt
we
anybody
no
or
idea.
Anything.
Definitely. We have no idea.
But, yeah, it's just amazing how that has occurred kind of out of thin air, but it's like not.
Oh, yeah, out of paying attention. And the more you pay attention, the more thin air you're going to be running into. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
right.
Sherry and
Thank
Michael.
You.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jess. And Sherry, I just love that testimony about participation. And
yes.
Maybe that's how the transformation happens. When I show up, when I contribute, when I'm accepted unconditionally, exactly as I am, over and over and over, it's magical.
Yes. Yeah. And as Jess pointed out, it just makes you want to be that for other people, right?
Yes.
It just does. Because, of course, the place that I always go back to, it makes us happy. And happy people really do want other people to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Indeed. However we can contribute.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just our contribution is leaving them alone. Not judging them, not criticizing them, right? Not needing to ruminate about what's wrong with them.
Indeed. And Sherry, we're going to break for a good news update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Hello, Michael and Sherry.
Just one sec there, Marianne.
Oh,
okay, Jen, I'm turning it over to you for Good News Update.
All right, and thank you, Marianne. Welcome to Good News Updates. And Marianne is joining us to talk about her experience of listening to the audiobooks. Thanks for being with us, Marianne.
Oh, it's a pleasure to do this. So the audiobooks came out, and the offer was you could download them, and
make a donation, and I have been dipping into them ever since I downloaded them.
And talk about your experience. Has something in particular stood out for you as you've listened?
You know, different times I've had different things, going on. And one was, the first thing that I was going through is I was going through some identification where I was having just like a lot of aversion. And I dipped into the key, and it helped me get over that. Well, it helped me get to clarity on what it was that I wanted to choose.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. You know, and actually, Marianne, I'll just say right there that one of the things with the key that's so extraordinary is, I mean, that's a very, in many ways, simple in terms of that. I mean, that's one of the things I've always heard people say over the years that attracts people to Sherry's writing in particular is the simplicity of it. And the key is so simple and in some ways such a short book. And it is the essence of practice, really, in these beautiful, simple, very down-to-earth prose. And that's my experience, too, what you're describing, that, you know, something's going on in our life. There's the audiobook to listen to. And you don't need to, it's such a way to get past that, I'm going to figure this out in conditioned mind, but instead just put the attention on the audiobook and the clarity arises from that.
Yes, it is what I thought, it's sort of like getting a booster shot. You know, you get your COVID shot and then you have a booster shot. And, you know, I've been practicing for a while, but I still need a booster shot every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, me, like every day or so, maybe every few minutes.
Yeah, so the other book I went to was the fear book. Now, this is one where ego said, oh, you've got over that. You don't need that anymore. You're not. So, of course, that made me curious. And what I found was, that there was a very potent story of the guide facing her fears. Mm-hmm. And that just, inspired me to drop the stories and just do what I needed to do.
So helpful. So helpful to have someone who's walking the path with us, has been through those things, and illustrates a way through it. So instead of, as you say, being stuck in the story, that's first of all starts with, oh no, you don't have fear. You don't need to listen to that book, which is such a huge red flag. Oh, this is probably going to be a helpful book for me. And then to read, you know, someone else walking us through their experience of how to be with a fear, essentially in compassionate awareness.
Yeah, what I really appreciate from all of the books is that there are exercises and guided meditations and ways of making choices that are really helpful. So it's like always at the ready counseling service.
That's great. Yes. Yes, but it's an interactive experience. And, you know, for the very reason that Sam and Sherry were just talking about. So the, you know, your calendar says open air and you call in and you listen and you put yourself in the queue. That's what makes the difference. And so really with all of practice and the same in the audiobooks, there are ways to have your own direct experience with it. There are ways to, you know, imageries to listen to and exercises to do so that you're really encouraged to get out of the head and into the experience.
Yeah, the exploration of, guided exploration of what is, and it just is really helps move me out of whatever I was getting stuck in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Indeed. So it sounds like the key and the fear were two of your favorites as you listened to them.
Yeah, but you know, the depression one also, they all have practice. It's not just all about depression, because it's all connected to all sorts of other things, causes and consequences. So they're all synopses of practice with just a certain kind of lens, but you can find anything there, I think.
Amen. Yes. You know, because at least for me, when I came to practice, I didn't identify, quote, depression as my thing, right? I would have said more that I struggle with anxiety, so maybe more in the fear camp. And yet, that's absolutely my experience, that I can relate to everything in the depression book. And in fact, I think there are many ways that, you know, it's all coming from that foundational same place. And as you say, each one brings a particular lens to it. And by looking at a lens that I may not have thought of as, quote, me, that often for me, that opens up things and has me look at things in a way that's brand new and very, very helpful. It's sort of, you know, it's that experience of shaking me out of unseen assumptions and beliefs.
Yeah, so I think it's one of those, they're kind of books that you can go back to again and again, mm-hmm. and it's like maybe you have a little voice that says, open the depression book, and then the right advice is right there for you.
Yes, it's so true. It's so true. And that each time I listen to it, I'm in a different place. There are different things happening in my life. You know, I'm in a different place in my own practice. And I hear new things. I think we were joking about this when we interviewed someone else about listening to the There's Nothing Wrong With You audiobook. That place of, well, surely that's new. Sherry must have added that to the book. And then going back and reading the original and realizing, no, it's in there, it's right there. But, you know, I just wasn't ready for it or didn't see it at the time or whatever it is.
Yes. The other thing that really is powerful is to hear the guide speaking. And there is so much conveyed in the voice. There's warmth and acceptance and no bullshit and it's like, use your common sense. There's just like something on another level of getting information.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting you say that, Marianne, because one of the things that's been coming up for me through this whole conversation, especially when you were talking about how each book is really the same thing with a different lens, is the extraordinary compassion that comes through all of the books. And to me, that's a huge piece of, I think, what on a very gut level drew me to this practice is compassion, that place that truly there is nothing wrong. And I think you're right. I think that the auditory experience, the there is nothing wrong comes through in the way that they're read, comes through in the tone of the voice, comes through in a whole other layer than in just the reading of it.
Yes, it's just the unconditional acceptance is there, and mm-hmm. encouragement, and kind of the dedication to practice is another. Yep. It's in that voice.
Yeah. Well, that's another beautiful point. Yes, absolutely. And the dedication to practice, to sit down and really day after day after day for many, many hours to record those books for us so that we now have them. And, you know, as you say, offer them out. I mean, they're on the website. So if anyone has not had access to them, livingcompassion.org. And then if you go under practice, the practice part of the wheel on the main homepage, and under practice offerings, audiobooks is the first listing there, and you can download any of them. So yes, to me, that's a huge demonstration of both one's own practice and the demonstration of the love of offering that practice to whoever wants it.
Yes, and I had the occasion when somebody, a member of my family, was really suffering to point them to that page to check out the book. You know, just it kind of gentle encouragement, not pushing anything, but, you know, if they were ready, it would be a really special thing for them.
And it's a very unique way to offer that. I mean, we've always said that over the years, you know, people will come to practice, they'll come on retreat, they'll have an experience, and they're so lit up that they want to tell everyone about it and this and that. And it's, you know, it's like we were just talking about with that conversation, it's like the avocado. You can't describe it. So that is what we often say is, you know, send people to the website, offer them a book, and offering them a link to the where the audiobooks are is a beautiful way to do that. There's no charge for it. It can, you know, you can send that link out to anyone, and yeah, they'll either avail themselves of it or not. They'll either take to it or not, but there it is, freely offered.
Yes, and the generosity of the guide to do that is just so appreciated.
Yeah, amen to that. And speaking of generosity, Marianne, thank you for your generosity and sharing your experience tonight.
My pleasure. Gesho.
Gesho. And Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Marianne. And let me get my cue organized here. Jumping around a little bit. There we go. Sherry, that was beautiful conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, lovely conversation, and I loved all of it. And the booster shot, I need a moment-by-moment booster shot, and practice provides that. So it's lovely.
Yeah, and the recording and listening, of course, is just so powerful and so important, because that's how the suffering happens. You know, people are listening to suffering conversations inside their head, and when we can replace those conversations with something that leads us away from suffering, then that's marvelous. And of course, for how many hundred years we've been doing this particular version of it, Michael. You know, that's one of the ways, right? Listening to archives of open air. Just, I was talking with somebody recently who said, you know, I've started just putting it on and listening to it as I'm doing whatever it is that I'm doing, and the change in my life is just remarkable. And so, you know, again, if there are our own recordings, absolutely, and if they're the books, you know, it's like it's just like having a companion who really likes you. And wants you to be happy and wants to do stuff with you and go around through life. And, it's good.
It's what we've always wanted, someone who loves us and accepts us unconditionally.
Yep. And wants to be with us 24 hours a day. Can't sleep? Oh,
yes.
Well, let's talk. Let's talk.
Yes.
Yeah, let's look at this thing, you know. So what's going on in... And so let's talk about that. And well, how about this? And I don't. That doesn't seem that seems okay. I think you're doing great. Seems to me like you're doing just fine.
Yeah.
Counteract that icy hand around the spine at 3 a.m.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. This is Chi-Chi in Seattle.
Well, hello.
Hello.
We're hearing from a lot of our neighbors here tonight.
Yeah.
We've got the We got the Northwest thing going, don't we?
I think so, in this gorgeous evening.
Oh.
Hi, Michael and Sherry. I put myself in the queue during Jen and Marianne's conversation because something hit me about the audiobooks,
uh-huh.
which is when you put them up, I've read the books before. I have the books. I've had them when they first came out. But when you put them online and you said they're free, because I would never have bought them online as an audiobook.
Mm.
I would have blown it off a little bit. You know, yeah, I know those books. I've read them.
Yeah, I've read those. Enough. I've read that.
Yeah.
I read that years ago. So, yeah.
But it just struck me when I was listening to that conversation, I wouldn't have listened to them unless they were free.
Mm.
And I had this feeling of the generosity of that. Like, nobody was asking anything from me except I have to hit a button. I don't know why it struck me so strongly, but it did.
Well, in listening to you talk about it, I don't know that this is true, but what strikes me in what you're saying is it's so obvious that it's for you.
Mm.
You know, if the person doing something doesn't get anything out of it, so, you know, you're last year I was so snowed in. And here down the road and into my driveway came my neighbor on this little snowmobile tractory jobby, and she hollered up, shall I clear your drive? It's like, oh my gosh. You know, I mean, I didn't know her. I didn't ask her. It was just so freely given because she had something I didn't have and she wished me well. I mean, that's really what it came down to. And so when I hear you describe that, it strikes me that there might be an element of that in it, that, you know, if they were for sale, then obviously, you know, that makes sense. They're online because they're for sale. But if they're not, then, huh.
Yeah. And it isn't that I haven't been given thousands of practice opportunities for free. I don't know why that one.
Maybe it was just time.
I mean, I didn't have to go on retreat and sit for hours. Or, you know, I didn't have to go through a kind of a gauntlet of proving that I really want this or, yeah, I think that was part of it. I didn't have to prove anything to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
There wasn't anything asked of me that way.
Yeah.
So I'm in tears, sort of, in my chest.
Mm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you are very welcome. Thank you for pitching. Putting yourself in the queue, saying so.
Yeah.
That's a gift.
You're welcome.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us. And Sherry, I've had that experience also, that unexpected generosity of practice. It just goes straight to the heart. It's just
Yeah. Well, you know, everything is given to us, right?
Yes.
Everything is given to us. And by the time we get through social conditioning, we've really forgotten that. I mean, I'm sitting here. I hope you're in a beautiful place too, Michael. I don't know
I am.
Anything
yes.
about where... Okay, good. And this place where I am is just breathtakingly beautiful. The sun is shining. There's just trees everywhere. Sky is blue. Everything is in bloom. It's just it's just magnificent. Well, I didn't do a darn thing. I didn't even. I have eyes to see it. I have a nose to smell the fragrances. Right? All of it. Given. Just freely given.
Yeah. Extraordinary.
It really is. And we get so far away from an awareness of that, that everything has to be about whatever everything is about. Like we're going to actually find something, get something, buy something that's going to give us what we already have and that we just left in order to try to get something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fabulous. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Michael and Sherry, it's Melissa in Hawaii.
Hey, hello. Melissa. Aloha.
Aloha. I am trying, this is probably just the whole problem is that I'm trying to figure something out, but I'm trying to figure out what karma is when we talk about it in this practice.
Oh. I have a good answer for you, Melissa.
Oh, good. I'm ready.
All right. Good. Yeah, you don't need to write it down. Okay? It's pretty simple and straightforward. Karma is a word that we have come up with. Well, we didn't, but, you know, people have come up with to explain what cannot be explained. Right? So people want reasons for things, and people want cause and effect, right? People want to understand, well, how does that work, and why is that that way, and, well, how can, yeah? And so then wise people for millennia have looked very somber and sober and said, karma. That's what I think.
So I've heard you say it to
have
people.
Have I stunned you, in, have
You've
I stunned
stunned
you
me.
Into silence with the brilliance of that?
You have. You have.
Yeah.
I've heard you use it to say if something is coming up again for someone.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah.
One
of my heroes, one of my heroes talks about it this way. Okay, we have a human incarnation because we have fears and desires that draw us to a human existence where we can pursue the things that we desire, and what comes with that is we have to be able to avoid the things that we're afraid of, threaten us, frighten us, right? And that, mm-hmm. if you stop and think about it, that does kind of describe a human incarnation,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what is that that drew you to a human incarnation? Well, it's not what drew me to a human incarnation. It's not what probably drew just about anybody you know to a human incarnation. Roughly, yes, I want what I want, and I don't want what I don't want, okay? But beyond that, the details of it get pretty specific, right? And so when somebody gets something they really want, it doesn't satisfy you. In fact, a lot of times we can't even figure out why somebody cares so much about something, right? Because it means nothing to us. That's not our deal, right? Mm-hmm. And so with that, here we are. And then now, you know, we've grown up and we've turned into somebody who for whom things are not going well and suffer over whatever it is. And my hero talks about karma as being the great healer. So what he means by that is that you have to go through what you have to go through in your life to get to the other side of the fears and the desires. Now, that can seem like a tall order, except we all know, well, we don't all know, but you and I know, and probably Michael and most of the people listening in tonight know, that you've already done that in many, many cases. There were things that you were afraid of, and you're no longer afraid of them. There were things that you wanted, and you no longer want those. And if you don't no longer want them because you have them, you no longer want them because you realize they don't satisfy you. They're not really what you want. And so you don't want them anymore. Okay? And in that way, we are, in quotes, cleaning up karma. Because karma, like ego, is a process. It's something that exists in the universe. It's how life is configured, right? And so everything that you clean up is not going to wind up somewhere else in a human incarnation. Everything you don't clean up is, because that's just how life is configured. So that's a big motivation for people like us to take care of as much as we can. You know, it's the leave the world a better place as compared to make your mark on the world. Those are two very different orientations, right? So leave the world a better place, right? So you've done everything that you could do to clean up what we call karma. Whatever those motivations, those urges, those desires. And you have children, right?
No, I don't.
You don't have children?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, you know children.
I do.
Yeah. And so what we see when we see a child, so if you know somebody who has two kids or more, one of the things that they know and that everybody who knows them will notice is, even though in theory they should be exactly alike, right? They've got the same parents. They've got the same environment. They've got the everything. But the parents will say, oh, no, they were completely who they are when they arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. All right. That is super helpful.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm glad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't actually know anything, but you know that I take comfort in the fact that we don't actually know anything, and then we can just end the sentence there. Right? all of this stuff is really made up.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that I get so fascinated by, I'm sure you read, Braiding Sweetgrass?
Yeah.
I think it was in Braiding Sweetgrass. And I think it was her talking about how a seed can lie dormant for extended periods of time. And when the circumstances are right, it sprouts. And it becomes whatever it is. Now, if you cut that little thing open, you could not find anything that would give you any idea at all that it was going to turn into a whatever it is that it turned into. Right? But that whole thing is there in that little tiny seed. Right? Now,
and that's its karma.
Yes. And the specifics of that, so there it is lying dormant, and then somebody puts a big rock on it. Okay? So that's kind of the end of that story, right? But the part of it that fascinates me so much is that because we know seeds grow into things, we think we know something.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't. We don't. So the fact that we don't really know why why certain people have the life they have and the lifespan that they have and these circumstances and these particular whatevers, diseases or whatever that goes on. We want to understand those things. And so we make stuff up about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people with cancer are type A. We make stuff up so that we feel better about it, which is kind of, I think, how karma came about. It just makes us feel better to think that there's something, there's some rhyme or reason here,
mm-hmm.
whether we can understand it or not. And I suspect that what we can really take from this is just enjoy it, right? Because we're never going to know what's going on. And we just make ourselves crazy if we try.
Thank you so much.
It's
a very broad term. I had no idea how broad it was. This is really, really helpful.
As big as life, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you so much.
Mahalo.
Good night. Mahalo.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Melissa. And Sherry, we got about 4 minutes left here. Would you like to bring a caller on? Or
why not?
Yeah, all right.
So, Michael, did you know that I was so fluent in Hawaiian before tonight?
I'm always impressed with what you come up with, Sherry.
No, let's talk to somebody else. We'll know that we're going to be relatively brief in our conversation.
Lovely. All right, next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
It's Ramita in Charleston.
Hey, Ramita.
Hi, Ramita.
What's going
on? Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. Oh, my gosh, way more than I can possibly squeeze into 3 minutes.
Let's take four.
But
Michael won't care.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been practicing with, few weeks ago, I recognized that I've been more easily moved by life, being affected by life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it usually
yeah.
has a, that statement has a emotional connotation, but all sorts of, so I've been looking at movement and being moved by life, and I'm enjoying this tremendously. And today, I had this experience. I was a passenger in the car, and I noticed, I'd been listening to the assignment for the week, and I noticed how my attention was getting pulled. I'm going to close the door. There's some noise going on in the next room. How my attention was being pulled to that car or that person or that tree and just bouncing from thing to thing. And I said, okay, that is, you know, what if I take my attention and put it on the process of being moved? And I just, it felt like everything else fell away. And I just felt this momentum. And it was like life was rushing by me. And this exhilaration of just being here, it felt like I was tapping into one of those perspectives that we talk about shifting into, and, you know, like another way of being alive that I hadn't tapped into, I hadn't noticed before. Does that make sense? Sherry? Hello?
Did we lose Sherry? Can you hear me, Ramita?
Oops. I hear you, Michael.
Okay, I've lost Sherry here. Let's see if she comes back. Hold on a moment here, Ramita. Oh, here we go. And there you are, Sherry. Sherry, can you
Michael.
Hear me?
Was it me?
Back.
Was it me?
We lost you there for a moment, Sherry.
Oh, my gosh. It was so weird. Ramita said everything fell away. Nothing.
There it went.
Yeah. Yes, it did. And then I had this growing. I was still connected, though. So I thought, anyway. Okay. So can we
the pace?
Go ahead, Ramita.
Well, it just, I feel like when I read the assignment, we talk about a different point of view, a different perspective. I've been playing with that like a koan and sort of dropping into the kinesthetic sense, a different place of sensing instead of the, you know, the mind and the vision, and dropping mm-hmm. into the bodily sensation and the sensation of momentum, how being moved by life, it sort of implies I'm not holding on to things and there's less friction, so I'm gliding. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. And is there, when you turned the attention, did it feel like it was to awareness?
Yes. Yes. It felt like going. Yes. Like process. All process. It was motion. It was.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, it, as the little thing goes, first there's movement, then there's sensation, right? And so we tune in at the uh-huh. sensation, but almost always we miss the movement, right? So what happened right before that sensation? It sounds like that's what you're exploring.
That I hadn't connected it with all those steps, but it has, you know, being moved by life, feeling. It's also another insight that might be related to the difference between tending a garden, which I'm ecstatic about doing this springtime, tending a garden and blossoming. So that doing it is falling away.
Yeah. So the blossoming kind of reminds me of the conversation a bit ago with Melissa. Right, that it just is. It just happens. We can take it apart and try to and give names to different things and feel like we know something about it, but that movement of life, to that movement of being, we actually don't know anything about.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, and experience it, and it's a. I could see how conditioning wanted me to pull me into this is uncomfortable, this is frightening, but it's just that it was unfamiliar. Like I was shifting into a different perspective that I hadn't.
Well, it is before. Ego, for God's sake. You just left the head behind.
Ah,
your ego isn't excited about that. You're looking somewhere else for information. Yeah, ego would be afraid.
Well, I'm just having so much fun with this, Sherry. It's like every assignment, every day of practice is opening things up and. Just incredible gratitude for the guides and the practice and the willingness that's being supported. It just,
it's good.
And beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, thank you so much for sticking in there with me, and I'll talk again soon.
All right.
And thank you, Michael, for persisting.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everyone. It's a pleasure and a privilege. And go happy.
All right.
Okay. Night, Sherry.